Hey everyone, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I'm so glad you're here and I'm so excited for today's episode.
Narcissistic personality disorder is actually a spectrum. So you can know someone that is slightly narcissistic that might have a few traits, and then you can also know someone who is severely narcissistic and checks the box across the board and is on the verge of being a sociopath. And in this video, I want to talk about the difference between an overt and a covert. And there are some people that can kind of check the box in both areas. There are some people that tend to have that overt personality and then a lot of covert traits as well. So again, this isn't really black and white. This isn't something that I'm going to say, this is a narcissist, here you go. I'm definitely going to give you tips of traits that a narcissist will have for sure. But again, it's very gray. So some people might have some traits in an overt and some might have some traits in a covert. So first, let's start off with an overt narcissist. Someone who is an overt narcissist is typically what we would look at narcissism as. Someone that has that very grandioso personality, very self-entitled, very self-absorbed, makes it very obvious that they're a narcissist to everyone in the room, even if they don't know themselves. They just have that big, grandioso personality. So when I think of an overt narcissist, I tend to think of a Hitler, a Donald Trump, Trump Tower, Trump Plane, Trump everything, someone that completely lacks empathy and, again, very self-entitled, self-absorbed. An overt is very easy to spot, like I said. A covert is actually not, and in my mind, a covert is actually someone who is much more dangerous than an overt narcissist, because the overt, like I said, is very obvious. Like, we know that this person is narcissistic. They make it known that they don't have any empathy and that they're very self-entitled and that the world revolves around them in their minds. But the covert is completely different. Now, both a covert and an overt are looking for narcissistic supply. Now, narcissistic supply is basically surrounding themselves with people that mirror back the false image that they play in their mind that they view of themselves. So for an overt, I'm grandioso, I'm so important, I'm self-entitled, and they need to surround themselves with people that mirror back, yes, you're amazing, yes, you're amazing. Whereas an overt, again, needs narcissistic supply, the same thing. They're looking for something outside of themselves to basically fill them up and validate themselves, but they do it in a different way. They don't have that real grandioso personality, look at me. They actually can be very shy, very vulnerable. They can pretend to have a lot of empathy. These are the people that are labeled as the good guy, or, the good guy in the office, or, the sweet girl. These are those people, because essentially what they're doing is they're playing a character. They're pretending to be something that they're not, so they can hook in people that believe that false image of themselves so they can get narcissistic supply from that person. So if I pretend to be this amazing human being and you mirror back that I'm amazing, then you're giving me what I need, which is narcissistic supply. So a covert narcissist, like I said, can be very shy, can be very vulnerable, can be very emotional. It can also be someone that very much plays the victim. So this is the person that, woe is me, this always happens to me, the world's against me, and they portray this story as to why something bad has happened to them and blames everyone else except for themselves. They don't take any accountability or responsibility for their own actions, which cause them to be in the situation that they're in. Instead, what they do is they sit and they play the victim and they tell this false story to anyone that'll listen about how, they got mistreated and how this situation happened to them and the world's always against them and they did nothing wrong and they're just the victim and everything. That's what they do. That's the game that they play to portray this person that they're actually really not. When in reality, the reason why he's being overly sensitive or overly emotional is not because he's being vulnerable or he really cares and he has deep feelings. He, again, is just playing this character. There's actually two things that can happen with a covert narcissist that tends to be overly emotional. The first thing that you have to remember with this is they actually are emotionally immature, which means growing up, they didn't learn how to process their emotions. So they project a lot onto people, the inner wounds that they have within themselves. So they might get really, really upset with you about something and almost overly emotional about it, when in fact, it has nothing to do with that thing. They're projecting a past wound onto you. They actually never learn the emotional intelligence that normal healthy people learned growing up. So instead, they just become so sensitive about a situation that has happened to them, and this is where they feed off of that emotion and play that victim role. And if you listen to the story and you buy the story, essentially, which is easy to buy because a lot of the information in the story is missing. They're not taking responsibility for their part in the story that caused them to be the victim. And they're portraying this false story so people will think that they're the victim and give them narcissistic supply. So the covert is very much looks like the good guy, very much looks like the sweet girl. They do everything in their power to portray this image of themselves. Most coverts can tend to have little bouts of depression at times within themselves. They won't obviously tell anyone that they're feeling depressed, but they definitely will have points of feeling this depression because they're suppressing the fact that they feel inadequate, not enough, they don't love themselves, and they're looking for it. They're looking for that validation and love outside of themselves. And if they're not getting enough narcissistic supply, they can then tend to feel depressed because they don't know how to basically take care of themselves and love themselves and do what they need to do for themselves to make them a whole and happy person. Because these people feel so empty inside and are constantly looking for stuff outside of themselves, they definitely have, you know, abuse problems, whether that's, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out, or drinking, or drugs, or gambling, or just any kind of an addiction, because they're trying to fill, again, they're trying to fill that void within themselves, that emptiness within themselves. So a covert narcissist is essentially brainwashing people. They're doing this because they want you to think that they're amazing, so you'll give them what they're craving. You'll give them supply, you'll give them attention, you'll give them love, you'll give them validation. So these are the people that will, you know, pretend like they're this amazing parent or this amazing citizen or, you know, someone that works in the office that's always willing to help out and lend a hand because they're not doing it for genuine reasons. And this is why this person's so dangerous to spot, is because there are so many people that we can probably think of in our mind that we look at and we're like, I think that guy's a really great guy, or that girl's like so sweet and she's so amazing. And in fact, they could very well be a covert narcissist. Now, we don't walk around life and think that everyone that is doing something nice has an agenda or is, you know, narcissistic or anything like that, because over time, the mask falls off. They can't live in this fake reality of pretending to be something that they're not. And unfortunately, when the mask comes off, it's not something that takes a couple days. Sometimes it can take months and years of, you know, being around a person for you all of a sudden to realize, wow, you're not actually who you pretended to be. So this is why, especially when we're dating, it takes time to get to know someone, because in the very beginning, we're all putting our best face forward. We're always, you know, being the best version of ourselves. And it's not until time passes that we really see who someone really is. And a covert narcissist cannot play this perfect, you know, good guy or good girl role forever and ever. They're going to pretend in the beginning to be, you know, a great citizen and very respectful of women and you know, the good girl in the office that's so sweet and caring and always doing nice things for other people. But over time, they cannot withstand that image. And when the mask starts to fade is actually when you have bought into the lie. So when you start buying into the lie or this false image that they're portraying of themselves, that's when they slowly start taking the mask off, because they know that they got you. They know that you love them, that you believe them, that you trust them, and you're now vulnerable to them. And that's when the mask starts to fade. So that's why I always tell people, especially when they're dating, is You know, look out for these traits in a narcissist, whether it's overt or covert. But even that, you still have to just give yourself time to let a person show you who they really are. Again, actions speak louder than words. And over time, the covert narcissist's actions, their actions will change. They'll not be the way they were in the beginning. That's just who they are. That's where the abuse of these people starts to happen. So a narcissist can be anyone. It can be your mother, your brother, a coworker, a friend, a cousin, you know, a partner. So for dating, when we're dating, here are a couple of tidbits on how to spot a covert narcissist. So for a man, a guy that is very quick to get into a relationship, very, you know, says all of these amazing things right off the bat, is very romantic right in the beginning, a charmer, someone that's incredibly charming, tends to be someone who's narcissistic. Because a guy that's healthy and whole and is not narcissistic, yes, of course, he's going to be romantic and he's going to be charming and he's going to be respectful and he's going to be all of these things, but he's going to show you that stuff over time, because he's not going to give that to you right off the bat because he doesn't know you. And it's the same thing for a woman. You know, you could have this amazing, healthy woman who would be a great wife, a great spouse, a great mother. She's a lovely human being, but you're not going to see that right in the very beginning because she's just going to be a little cautious because she's getting to know you. That's healthy dating. When we're not healthy is when the man is just very charming, moves very fast in the beginning, you know, writing all of these amazing letters and you're the one and I finally met you, and it's just really, really soon in the relationship for that kind of talk. And for a woman, you know, that covert narcissistic woman will be very sexual. So, you know, the covert narcissist in dating, they always give you what they think either the woman or the man is looking for. So most women are looking for, if you're unhealthy, are looking for that, you know, white knight that's going to come in and save the day and just be this amazing love story, romance, and things of that. Whereas, and you know, telling me that I'm the one and I'm his soulmate and saying all of these things that we as women have been brainwashed to think that that's what symbolizes true love. And for a man, a woman who's narcissistic is going to give you what you want. So she's going to make you feel like a man, and she's going to be very sexual with you, and she's going to, you know, just always be doing all of these amazing things in the very beginning. Again, they're playing this role of fantasy, and the fantasy doesn't last forever. And like I said, over time, the mask will fade away. So when we're dating, you know, if a guy's being romantic, it doesn't mean he's narcissistic, obviously, but intuitively, you will know when someone's moving a little too fast. And I don't know any woman that has dated a narcissist that didn't say in the very beginning, yeah, it was going a little fast, but I just got wrapped up in this whirlwind of romance that I just kind of let it play out. Instead of being healthy and whole by themselves to say, while all of this is just very lovely, it's not something that I need at this moment in time. I like to take steps to get to know you and know that you are a good person. And then we can start this romance and all of these other things. It's so funny too, because I had a girlfriend once who dated a narcissist that was, he definitely had a lot of covert traits. He definitely was probably the black sheep of the family. Definitely, you know, was the funny guy and always joking around and had a little bit of that grandioso personality. Completely lacked empathy, completely self-absorbed and self-entitled. But had a lot of covert traits, especially in the beginning of the relationship. And it was funny because when they started dating, I remember her saying to me, you know, I think I actually find him attractive. He's not really the type of guy that I would go for, but his personality is so amazing and he's so charming that I kind of just went for it. And again, that's the hook. The hook is for you to think I'm an amazing human being, so you'll love me, so then I can abuse you. That's just the way that this works with a covert narcissist. That's how they get narcissistic supply, and that's how they continue with their abusive cycle. So now, how do we deal with this type of person? Because when we're dating and we say, okay, I definitely think this person is an overt narcissist. Okay, we're not dating them anymore. I'm not even into that and I don't want anything to do with that. Or if we've been dating someone for a while and they're a covert narcissist and we've, you know, the mask is starting to fall off and now things are not adding up the way they normally would. Okay, goodbye. I want nothing to do with you. But when we have narcissists that are in our family or we work with them and we can't really, or we have to co-parent with them, we can't really just never see these people again. We have to learn, how do we deal with this type of personality? So how do we deal with this type of person? And this doesn't really matter if it's an overt or a covert. It's a narcissist, period. So they're unhealthy, they're toxic, they're abusive. They completely lack empathy, they're self-absorbed, and you know, the list goes on and on and on. So how do we deal with this type of person? Whether that's a person that we work with or a family member, someone we have to co-parent with, whatever the case may be. The number one thing to always remember is this person's a narcissist. They're unhealthy. And I know that sounds a little ridiculous as like the number one thing, but if you're a good person, you're always going to try to believe the best in people. So especially with a covert, because a covert is gonna go back and forth between I'm being a good person, I'm being a nasty person. I'm trying to work with you and now I'm self-absorbed and self-entitled. Like it's this back and forth game with these people. And it's a balancing act of learning how to deal with this type of personality, because you're gonna see things in this person if you have to communicate and be around them, you know, on a day-to-day basis or what have you, where you're gonna say, wow, they're looking, this is great. Like all of a sudden, like they've turned a new leaf and now they're being like a normal, healthy person. They're not. That's just the game. It's the back and forth that they play constantly to keep you hooked in, to keep the abuse going, et cetera, et cetera. So within every single interaction, reminding yourself, this person's narcissistic, this person's narcissistic, every time. So if it's a mother-in-law that you have to deal with, or a cousin, or whoever, knowing in each interaction, this person's unhealthy, this person's unhealthy. And even if they do something that's somewhat nice and reasonable, they are going to resort back to an unhealthy way as soon as they can. So just knowing that, it definitely will help you manage your expectations on what this person is capable of, for sure. You have to remember at times that this person is going to be completely unreasonable. They're going to use manipulation on you constantly. It's like their best friend. They're severely, severely insecure. And so what they're trying to do is to keep you hooked into them so they can keep abusing you, because that's what makes them feel better inside, unfortunately, on a sick level, but that's the truth. It makes them feel important if they've hurt someone else. It makes them feel like, wow, look, I got to that person. Like it just, that's what they need to feel validated that they even exist. So the next thing is you definitely have to create boundaries with this person. So if you know that communicating at times is really, really difficult with this person, maybe when they call, you send it to voicemail and send them a text right after and say, oh, hey, what's going on? Sorry, I'm busy. You know, everything as much as you can should be done over email or text message. Thank God for technology. So we can just put it in technology and we can read the email and or read the text and answer the question point blank. You know, what is it that they're trying to ask me? We don't get into detail about what's going on in our own lives. We never share anything with this person. And if you do share, make sure it is very, very limited, because the more you share, the more they're getting more information from you that they can then use against you later on. So we're not being vulnerable with this person. We're not telling them what's going on in our lives. We're not, you know, having a conversation about something that maybe we're struggling with. Absolutely no. We stick to very blah topics, or even better, we make the whole conversation about them. So we're constantly asking them questions. We're constantly talking to them about what's going on in their life briefly again. We're just constantly putting the focus on the narcissist and nothing on ourselves. So they don't ask us any questions and they don't know anything about what's going on with us. What you want to do is you actually want to be, and you might hear this often, it's called gray rock. It's called the gray rock technique. And what it is we're just being very gray. We're being very blah with the narcissist. We're not giving them anything. We're not giving them anything negative. We're not giving them anything positive. We're being so blah and almost not fun to talk to because we're not giving them anything that they then go to someone else. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to give them any information on ourselves. We don't want to talk about ourselves. We just want the focus always to be on the other person, on the narcissist. The other thing, and this is really, really important, is, you know, you cannot get emotional with these people. So if they say something that is completely hurtful and just ridiculous and unreasonable and selfish or whatever, you don't call them out on their bad behavior. You don't get all angry and show all this like negative emotion at them because again, it's just giving them what they want. It's validating them. The narcissist is a bully and what they're looking for is just attention, whether that's good, whether that's bad. And a lot of the times they actually will prefer the bad because that means that they got to you. It means that they matter. And that's what the narcissist is looking for. They're just looking for attention. They're looking to get a rise out of you. They're looking and hearing of what's going on in your life so they can use it against you at another point in time.
So that is it for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you in my next episode.